2 Chronicles, chapter 28. Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. He didn't do that which was right in the eyes of Yahweh as David his father did, but he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, and also, further, made molten images for the Baals. So this was a common cause for the kings of Judah going wrong, that they were mixed up with the kings of Israel. Now the 10-tribe kingdom, called Israel, they were still Israelites, and they were still the people of God, and yet they were so astray. They worshipped the golden calves instead of using the temple in Judah. And Judah went wrong because they mixed with the kings of Israel. I think that just shows that even if someone calls himself a Christian or is apparently amongst the people of God, it doesn't necessarily mean it's a great idea to be in relationship with them or friends with them. We've got to choose our friends. The book of Proverbs has a lot to say about that. And Proverbs was written first and foremost to the people of Israel, to the Israelites. That was before the division happened. And the idea was that you've got to choose your friends wisely and mix with the wise and mix with spiritual people, not with unspiritual people. Moreover, Ahaz burnt incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom and burnt his children in the fire, according to the abominations of the nations whom Yahweh cast out before the children of Israel. Now one of his sons did survive, and that was Hezekiah, and he then really reformed Judah after Ahaz had died. It's not surprising, he would have seen his brothers, maybe his sisters, being burnt in the fire. And it would have been traumatic for him. And therefore, I think that's why he was so against all this kind of thing. Therefore, Yahweh his God delivered him into the hand of the king of Syria. You see how God is still called Yahweh his God. God was still his God, even though he was so wrong in what he was doing and was trying to bring him back. And they struck him and carried away from him a great multitude of captives and brought them to Damascus. He was also delivered into the hand of the king of Israel, who struck him with a great slaughter. So the king of Israel led him astray spiritually, got friendly with him, worshipped the same idols, and then the king of Israel attacks him and kills a lot of his people. For Pekah, that's the king of Israel, killed in Judah 120,000 in one day. A huge number of people in one day, considering that all they had at best was stones and knives, swords, didn't have any guns or whatever, because they had forsaken Yahweh, the God of their fathers. Zichri, a mighty man of Ephraim, killed Maaseiah, the king's son, and Azrikam, the ruler of the house, and Elkanah, who was next to the king. The children of Israel carried away captive of their brothers 200,000 and much spoil. But a prophet of Yahweh was there in Samaria, that's the capital of the 10 tribes, whose name was Oded. He went out to meet the army that came to Samaria and said to them, "Behold, because Yahweh, the God of your fathers, was angry with Judah, he has delivered them into your hand, and you have slain them in a rage which has reached up to heaven." So, okay, the Israelites were used to attack and to destroy the men of Judah, but their anger with them, with the men of Judah, was displeasing to God. It was a rage that reached to heaven. It's rather like the Assyrians are described as the rod in God's hand to punish Judah with later, but then because they punished them more than God intended, he was very angry with them. So God may use people to punish others, but if they go too far, as Assyria did, as the Edomites did, rejoicing at the fall of Judah, God is angry. Now God says, "You purpose to oppress the children of Judah and Jerusalem and make them slaves to you. Aren't there even with you trespasses of your own against Yahweh your God?" So even though they were still worshipping idols and the golden calves, again God says, "I am Yahweh your God." So God will not leave us. It doesn't mean he will save us just because he's our God, but until the end of our days, God is our God. It's like parents. To the end of your days, a parent is always the parent of their child and tries to love them and be responsible for them, hopefully. So the prophet said, "Now hear me, therefore. Send back the captives that you've taken from your brothers, for for the fierce wrath of Yahweh is on you. God's very sensitive to how people treat their brothers. Then some of the heads of the Israelites stood up against those who were returning from the war. They said to them, "You shall not bring in the captives here, for you purpose that which will bring on us a sin against Yahweh to add to our sins, for our trespass is great and there's fierce wrath against Israel." So it's funny, the people of Israel had a fierce wrath against the people of Judah, and God had a fierce wrath against Israel because they were angry with Judah. Just shows God really hates hatred of brethren. So the soldiers left the captives and the spoil before the princes and all the assembly. And the leaders rose up and took the captives, and with the spoil clothed all who were naked among them, dressed them, gave them sandals and something to eat and drink, anointed them, carried all the feeble of them on donkeys, and brought them to Jericho to their brothers. Then they returned to Samaria. It rather sounds like what the Good Samaritan did on the same road to Jericho. It seems that Jesus was thinking about this incident. So that was quite an amazing thing, really, that the people of Israel heard God's word from that prophet Oded and did it and were nice to their enemies because they feared God's word. At that same time, King Ahaz sent the kings of Assyria to help him, for again the Edomites had come and struck Judah and carried away captives, and the Philistines had invaded the south of Judah. Yahweh brought Judah low because of Ahaz, king of Israel, because he had trespassed severely against Yahweh. Tilgath-Pilneser came to him, that's the king of Assyria, and distressed him and didn't strengthen him. Although Ahaz took away a portion out of the house of Yahweh and out of the house of the king and gave it to the king of Assyria, but it didn't help him. So trying to get human help and use wealth and whatever is not the way to go. Time and again, this is the lesson. Total trust in God. In the time of his distress, he sinned yet more against Yahweh, for he sacrificed to the gods of Damascus who struck him. He said, "Because the gods of the kings of Syria helped them, I will sacrifice to them that they may help me." But they were the ruin of him and of all Israel. Ahaz gathered together the vessels of the temple and cut them in pieces and shut up the doors of the house of Yahweh. And he made altars to the idols in every corner of Jerusalem. In every city of Judah he made high places to burn incense to other gods and provoked Yahweh to anger. Ahaz slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city, even in Jerusalem, but they didn't bring him into the tombs of the kings of Israel, and Hezekiah his son reigned in his place. What a terrible guy. And yet he had a father who was fairly committed as a believer. It just shows that good parents can have bad children, and also bad parents can have good children, because Hezekiah turned out well. And I think that just shows us that relationship with God is personal, and you can't get to the kingdom of God because you had a good dad or a good mum or a good brother or a good sister. We've all got to make that personal connection with God and with Jesus.